A new report from the Congressional Research Service entitled NSA Surveillance Leaks, Background and Issues for Congress, summarizes for Congress what is publicly known about the two National Security Agency surveillance programs that were disclosed by Edward Snowden and reported in June 2013 by The Guardian and The Washington Post. According to this report, since these programs were publicly disclosed over the course of 2 days in June, there has been confusion about what information is being collected and what authorities the National Security Agency, NSA, is acting under. This report clarifies the differences between the two programs and identifies potential issues that may help members of Congress assess legislative proposals pertaining to NSA surveillance authorities. Stephen Aftergood, in charge of the Project on Government Secrecy of the Federation of American Scientists, states that this report does not present any new factual material concerning the surveillance programs, but it identifies some outstanding questions about them. The word unclear is used several times, and it formulates topics for congressional consideration. Radio Nisko has excerpted from this report sections explaining what information is being collected, what are the legal basis for the collection, and what oversight mechanisms are in place. As stated in its introduction, the information in this report is based largely on public comments from intelligence officials and members of Congress. Recent media stories about National Security Agency, NSA, surveillance address unauthorized disclosures of two different intelligence collection programs. These programs arise from provisions of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA. However, they rely on separate authorities, collect different types of information, and raise different policy questions. For both programs, there is a tension between the speed and convenience with which the government can access data of possible intelligence value and the mechanisms intended to safeguard civil liberties. The first program collects and stores in bulk domestic phone records that some argue could be gathered to equal effect through more focused records requests. The second program targets the electronic communications of non-US citizens, but may incidentally collect information about Americans. What information is being collected regarding domestic collections of domestic phone record collected under Section 215 of the U.S. Patriot Act? On Wednesday, June 5, 2013, The Guardian reported that NSA collects in bulk the telephone records of millions of U.S. customers of Verizon Wireless, pursuant to an order from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, or FISC. Intelligence officials and leaders of the Congressional Intelligence Committees have confirmed the existence of this domestic phone records collection program, although they have not identified the companies providing the records. It has been alleged, but not confirmed, that similar orders have been sent to other telecommunications providers. The court order disclosed by The Guardian was a 3-month extension of a program that has been going on for 7 years. The Director of National Intelligence has acknowledged the breadth of the program, analogizing it to a huge library with literally millions of volumes of books, but has stated that data about Americans in the possession of the United States government can only be accessed under specific circumstances. The program collects metadata, a term used in this context to refer to data about a phone call, but not the phone conversation itself. Intelligence officials have stated that the data are limited to the number that was dialed from, the number that was dialed to, and the date and duration of the call. The data must be destroyed within 5 years of acquisition. Information collected does not include the location of the call, beyond the area code identified in the phone number, the content of the call, or the identity of the subscriber. However, some civil liberties advocates have argued that a telephone number today is essentially a unique identifier that can easily be tied to a person's identity by other means, and that the distinction between a telephone number and subscriber identity is therefore insignificant. On June 27, 2013, The Guardian published an article alleging that NSA previously collected the metadata for internet-based communications, email being the prime example, for Americans inside the United States. A spokesman for the Director of National Intelligence confirmed The Guardian's account, but said this program was discontinued in 2011. Intelligence officials have stated that pursuant to the same FISA authorities, NSA does not currently collect in bulk the metadata of these types of communications. It has been suggested that this type of collection was also conducted pursuant to the same FISA Section 215 authorities, and some have expressed concern that those authorities could again be used to collect internet metadata in the future. Regarding the domestic collection of foreign internet-related data, collected under Section 702 of Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, The Washington Post reported on June 6, 2013, that the National Security Agency and the FBI are tapping directly into the central servers of 9 leading U.S. internet companies, extracting audio and video chats, photographs, emails, documents, and connection logs that enable analysts to track foreign targets. The Guardian ran a similar story that same day. These articles refer to a system called PRISM, allegedly used to collect this data. Outside commentators and government officials have argued that portions of these stories are inaccurate. Public comments from the administration indicate this intelligence collection is more targeted in scope than was suggested by these articles, and major technology companies have denied giving the federal government direct access to their servers. The Director of National Intelligence on June 8, 2013, released a public statement saying, "The Guardian and Washington Post articles refer to collection of communications pursuant to Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act." A fact sheet provided by the Director of National Intelligence stated that PRISM is an internal government computer system used to facilitate access to these communications. In accordance with Section 702, this collection program appears largely to involve the collection of data, including the content of communications of foreign targets overseas, whose emails and other forms of electronic communication flow through networks in the United States. Compared to the breadth of phone records collection under Section 215, this program is more discriminating in terms of its targets, but broader in terms of the type of information collected. Beyond that, the scope of the intelligence collection, the type of information collected and companies involved, and the way in which it is collected remain unclear. Examples cited by the administration include the email content of communications with individuals inside the United States, but in those cases, the targets of the intelligence collection appear to have been non-US citizens located outside the United States. On June 20th, 2013, The Guardian also published NSA's targeting and minimization procedures for information collected under Section 702 authorities. Documents referred to in the article specify procedures used to determine that the targets of intelligence collection are non-US persons located outside the United States, and the procedures used to minimize the retention and dissemination of information about U.S. persons collected under Section 702 authorities. What are the legal bases for the collection? Regarding domestic phone records, prior to 2001, FISA contained a mechanism for the government to compel the production of certain business records through subpoena-like court orders. Under this authority, only 4 types of documents could be sought in foreign intelligence or international terrorism investigations, namely records from common carriers, public accommodation facilities, storage facilities, and vehicle rental facilities. A court order compelling the production of these records was authorized if the FBI presented the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court with specific and articulable facts giving reason to believe that the person to whom the records pertain is a foreign power or an agent of a foreign power. Section 215 of the USA Patriot Act, which is the authority cited by the Director of National Intelligence as the basis of the recently revealed collection of domestic phone records, broadened government access by both enlarging the scope of the materials that may be sought and lowering legal standard required to be met. Specifically, Section 215 modified the business records provisions of FISA to allow the FBI to apply to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court for an order compelling a person to produce any tangible thing, including records held by a telecommunications provider concerning the number and length of communications, but not the contents of those communications. In 2005, the provision was further amended to require the FBI to provide a statement of facts showing that there are reasonable grounds to believe that the tangible things sought are relevant to an authorized investigation other than a threat assessment into foreign intelligence, international terrorism, or espionage. The statute considers records presumptively relevant if they pertain to a foreign power or an agent of a foreign power, the activities of a suspected agent of a foreign power who is the subject of such authorized investigation, or an individual in contact with or known to a suspected agent of a foreign power who is the subject of such authorized investigation. The phrase reasonable grounds to believe is not defined by FISA, but has been used interchangeably with the reasonable suspicion standard, a less stringent standard than probable cause. Although there are not any publicly available judicial opinions interpreting this language in the context of Section 215, it may be helpful to look at appellate courts' interpretations of Stored Communications Act, as it similarly authorizes law enforcement to access telecommunications transactional records, as well as stored electronic communications, upon a showing that there are reasonable grounds to believe that the information sought is relevant and material to an ongoing criminal investigation. Under the Stored Communications Act, the collection of stored email has been held to meet that standard in context of a complex, large-scale mail and wire fraud operation in which interviews of current and former employees of the target company suggest that electronic mail is a vital communication tool that has been used to perpetrate the fraudulent conduct, and various sources have verified that the provider who has custody of the email provides electronic communication services to certain individuals under investigation. Similarly, obtaining the Internet Protocol IP address and name associated with a Yahoo account was justified when a police officer received a tip from an individual that he had received what appeared to be child pornography from that Yahoo account. Relevancy is also not defined by FISA, but is generally understood to be a less stringent standard than probable cause, requiring only that the information sought would tend to prove or disprove a fact at issue. An authorized investigation must be conducted under guidelines approved by the Attorney General under Executive Order 12333, and may not be conducted of a United States person solely upon the basis of activities protected by the First Amendment. The Attorney General's guidelines for FBI domestic operations authorize three levels of investigations: assessment, preliminary investigations, and full investigations. Preliminary investigations require an allegation or information indicative of possible criminal or national security threatening activity before being initiated. Similarly, full investigations require an articulable factual basis for the investigation that reasonably indicates the existence of some activity constituting a federal crime, a threat to national security, or foreign intelligence. In contrast, assessments do not require any factual predicate. As Section 215 explicitly requires an authorized investigation other than a threat assessment, it is likely that Section 215 orders may only be used in conjunction with preliminary or full investigations. Following the disclosure of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court order compelling Verizon to produce large amounts of telephony metadata, some commentators have expressed skepticism regarding how there could be reasonable grounds to believe that such a broad amount of data could be said to be relevant to an authorized investigation as required by the statute. Although the order has been leaked to various media outlets, other pieces of information that would significantly help inform any understanding of how the legal standard in Section 215 is being applied have not yet been disclosed. Specifically, it is not known what was included in the statement of facts that is required to be submitted as part of the application for a Section 215 order. Similarly, there have not been any widespread disclosures of the manner in which the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, or Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court of Review, is applying the reasonable grounds to believe or relevant to an investigation standards provided in Section 215. Regarding foreign internet-related data, Title VII, added by the FISA Amendments Act of 2008, provides additional procedures for the acquisition of foreign intelligence information regarding persons who are believed to be outside of the United States. The Director of National Intelligence has stated that the recently disclosed collection of foreign intelligence information from electronic communication service providers has been authorized under Section 702 of FISA, which specifically concerns acquisitions targeting non-US persons who are overseas. Prior to the enactment of Section 702 and its predecessor in the Protect America Act of 2007, FISA only authorized sustained electronic surveillance or access to electronically stored communications after the issuance of a foreign intelligence surveillance court order that was specific to the target. The FISC, in authorizing electronic surveillance or physical search, must find probable cause to believe both that the person targeted by the order is a foreign power or its agent, and that the subject of the search, such as the telecommunications or place to be searched, is owned, possessed, or will be used by the target. Section 702 permits the Attorney General and the Director of National Intelligence to jointly authorize targeting of persons reasonably believed to be located outside the United States, but is limited to targeting non-US persons. Once authorized, such acquisitions may last for periods of up to 1 year. Under subsection 702B of FISA, such an acquisition is also subject to several limitations. Specifically, an acquisition may not intentionally target any person known at the time of acquisition to be located in the United States, may not intentionally target a person reasonably believed to be located outside the United States if the purpose of such acquisition is to target a particular known person reasonably believed to be in the United States, may not intentionally target a U.S. person reasonably believed to be located outside the United States, may not intentionally acquire any communication as to which the sender and all intended recipients are known at the time of the acquisition to be located in the United States, and must be conducted in a manner consistent with the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Acquisitions under Section 702 are also geared towards electronic communications or electronically stored information. This is because the certification supporting the acquisition requires the Attorney General and the Director of National Intelligence to attest that, among other things, the acquisition involves obtaining information from or with the assistance of an electronic communication service provider. This would appear to encompass acquisitions using methods such as wiretaps or intercepting digital communications, but may include accessing stored communications or other data. Central components of Section 702 are the targeting and minimization procedures that must be submitted to the FISC for approval. In order to be approved, Section 702 requires the targeting procedures be reasonably designed to ensure that an acquisition is limited to targeting persons reasonably believed to be located outside the United States, and to prevent the intentional acquisition of any communication where the sender and all intended recipients are known at the time of the acquisition to be located in the United States. The Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution protects against unreasonable searches and seizures. In domestic criminal law investigations, it generally requires law enforcement officers to obtain a court-issued warrant before conducting a search. When the warrant requirement does not apply, government activity is generally subject to a reasonableness test under the Fourth Amendment. The extent to which the warrant requirement applies to the government's collection of foreign intelligence is unclear. In a 1972 case, the Supreme Court invalidated warrantless electronic surveillance of domestic organizations on Fourth Amendment grounds, despite the government's assertion of a national security rationale. However, it indicated that its conclusion might be different in a future case involving the electronic surveillance of foreign powers or their agents within or outside the United States. There are no publicly available judicial opinions analyzing the collection activities under Section 702 under the Fourth Amendment. However, in 2008, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court of Review, FISCR, upheld collection activities under the Protect America Act that appear to have closely resembled the authority under Section 702. The FISCR first determined that the purposes of foreign intelligence investigations were sufficiently important and different from traditional law enforcement to justify an exception to the warrant requirement. The court went on to hold that surveillance under the PAA was also reasonable since the targeting and minimization procedures used by the government provided sufficient proxies for the traditional particularity and probable cause requirements of the Fourth Amendment. The court especially noted that such procedures were reasonable, especially when balanced against the government's interest in protecting national security, which was of the highest order of magnitude. While the targeting and minimization procedures applicable to Section 702 surveillance have been leaked to various press outlets, the targeting and minimization procedures the FISCR reviewed and approved with respect to earlier Protect America Act remain classified. Without the ability to compare these two sets of targeting and minimization requirements, it is difficult, if not impossible, to assess whether the reported collection activities under Section 702 are consistent with the FISCR opinion upholding the Protect America Act. What oversight mechanisms are in place? The July 2, 2013 report from the Congressional Research Service provides with a summary of the oversight mechanisms governing the two intelligence collection programs, based almost entirely on testimony by intelligence community officials before the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Both programs appear to be subject to frequent examination by the FISC in addition to Congress. Regarding domestic phone records, the collection of phone records in bulk is pursuant to FISC orders that, according to intelligence officials, must be renewed every 90 days. The data are then stored at a repository at NSA. The FISC also approves the procedures governing access to those data and has apparently required that the NSA meet a reasonable articulable suspicion standard prior to searching the data. FISC approval is not necessary prior to searching the data already held at NSA. Rather, 22 individuals at NSA have been authorized to approve requests to query the data and to determine whether information meets reasonable suspicion standard. Queries against phone records data are documented and audited by NSA. In 2012, less than 300 phone numbers were used to query the database. Intelligence officials have identified several additional oversight mechanisms that monitor the implementation of this program. These include a report filed every 30 days with the FISC, a meeting at least every 90 days between the Department of Justice, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and NSA, and a semi-annual report to Congress. Regarding the foreign internet-related data, the collection of electronic communications pursuant to Section 702 is subject to a less stringent oversight regime. Information is obtained with the FISA court approval and with the knowledge of the provider based upon a written directive from the Attorney General and the Director of National Intelligence. In accordance with the FISA Amendments Act, procedures governing the program designed to prevent the acquisition and dissemination of Americans' communications are subject to court approval. Actual collection of this information does not require a warrant or court order. Decisions regarding whether collection on a foreign target is in keeping with Section 702 appear to take place largely within the Department of Justice and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. After data are collected, NSA is subject to a number of oversight reporting procedures. These include quarterly reports to the FISC concerning compliance issues, semi-annual reports to the FISC and Congress that assess compliance with targeting and minimization standards, semi-annual reports to the FISC and Congress on the implementation of the program, and annual reviews from the NSA Inspector General. You have listened to an excerpt of the report NSA Surveillance Leaks, Background and Issues for Congress, dated July 2, 2013, and prepared by Marshall Curtis Irwin and Edward Liu for the Congressional Research Service. Marshall Curtis Irwin is an analyst in intelligence and national security, and Edward Liu is a legislative attorney. For further information on state of exception and civil liberties, as well as privacy and human rights, you may visit Equipo Nisco and Radio Nisco's related webpages. This program has been produced by Radio Nisco at our studios in Belgium on July 11th, 2013.